In the ancient days of the galaxy, the majesty of the old Eldari Empire was a true civilizational wonder within the stars, with its citizens living a life of bucolic ease across their boundless territories. Before their eventual and tragic fall, they lived far differently than the Eldari that we may encounter today. Rather than calling their gigantic ethereal craft worlds home, they instead lived upon the solid ground of their maiden worlds. These were lush, quasi-paradise planets which had been seeded, terraformed, and carefully engineered by the Eldari to produce a veritable garden of plentiful bounty on which their peoples could live in peace and reap the fruits of their empire's strength. In the Eldari lexicon, these habitable planets are known as Liliathan worlds, named after the Eldari goddess of dreams and the moon, Liliath. It is perhaps odd that they are not named after Isha, the goddess of fertility, for her mythological role in creating life upon barren worlds, but they may follow whatever mythic naming traditions that they wish. The actual process for terraforming barren, dead worlds into being places of paradise was done as something of a necessity to the Eldari. They soon began to realize that their species was growing at an exponential rate, and that they must take some kind of action to expand their potential living space, lest they end up suffering from the pains of living in an overcrowded society. Thus, those who resided upon the ancient councils decreed that they required a long-term solution to this problem, and the concept of mass terraforming gained fruition. Initially, vast scanning and monitoring techniques would be used to identify potential worlds which could be made habitable. These planets would need to be of an appropriate size, maintain an orbit within the habitable zone of its star system, and also have a geological composition which would be receptive to their terraforming methods. Whilst the candidate planets were spread out across the galaxy, a large proportion of them were localized around the previous worlds of the Eldari Empire, and so would soon meet a most unfortunate fate, as we will soon discuss. Even with the advanced technologies of the Eldari, terraforming these worlds was an arduously slow process, but their success here was always intended to aid their species far into the future. The first stages would involve seeding the planet with an incredibly wide variety of simple bacteria and amoebas, which over time would begin to produce a stable, oxygen-rich atmosphere. Once ready, complex, multicellular life would be slowly introduced to the candidate world. This would typically start with hardy flora, whereby mosses and lichens would cover vast swathes of the planet. Eventually, the world would be ready for seeding with strong, swaying grasses, then mighty towering trees, and finally, with abundant plants of produce, which would provide a constant supply of nutrient-dense fruits and vegetables, which would soon feed the enigmatic Eldari. In order to fully balance the ecosystem, a wide range of the hardiest and most well-understood fauna would be introduced to form large animal communities. The huge herbivorous megadons would peacefully graze upon the endless grasslands, helping to keep a careful balance within the delicate nature of a maiden world. The entire process of terraforming a barren, lifeless rock into becoming a paradise planet would take several millennia, and despite the lofty height of their civilization, it was still an enormous investment to them. Despite the work required, they knew that in time they would be able to bask in the suns of their carefully engineered worlds, where they could rest upon their laurels as the dominant species of the galaxy. Because of how the ecosystems of these planets had been designed, they tended to lack pathogenic microorganisms, and so the Eldari living on these worlds would be relatively free from the plight of infectious diseases. Similarly, the introduced fauna and flora had all been genetically engineered to make their species far hardier, with a much more robust immune system when compared to those found upon other worlds. This all resulted in the life upon the maiden worlds being incredibly durable, allowing the carefully made ecosystems to endure for tens of thousands of years. This meant that the Eldari who would eventually colonize these worlds would be able to live without the stresses of seeing any form of ecological devastation, and that they could simply enjoy a life which provided them with the best possible form of existence. The maiden worlds were akin to a true paradise. During the terraforming, the introduced plant and animal life was designed in such a way that the Eldari who lived upon its surface would have a constant source of food and resources with which to live off of. An Eldari would have their every need met, with the finest of fruits from across the galaxy being just at their fingertips whenever they desired it. There was to be no labor on these worlds, only rest and pleasure. The advanced technologies of the Eldari would allow its residents to simply enjoy the bountiful gifts of the planet without having to needlessly exert their noble frames. Eventually, this attitude began to pervade every aspect of the Eldari society. Their civilization started to reach an era defined by excess and vile debauchery, with the newly formed pleasure cults finding more and more power within their councils. Thankfully, however, their views were not shared by all. Many Eldari began to see the folly of their ways, and they grew disgusted by the sheer acts of hedonism which were becoming all too common within their empire. As such, they chose to break away from their kin, seeking the grounds of the maiden worlds as places in which they could call a new home. These mass migration events were coined as the Exodus of the Eldari, and so those who left became known as the Exodites. They typically chose to flee to the worlds which were farthest away from their brothers and sisters, where they hoped to begin life anew without the sinful taint of their kin. They also sought to reject much of the technology which had brought their species to this state of decadence, and so they planned to return to the simple and humble ways of nature, where farming and animal husbandry would stand as the core tenets of their new life. This attitude ultimately saved the lives of untold Eldari, as those who had fled to the farthest of the maiden worlds were to be safe from the clutches of She Who Thirsts. As previously stated, many of the Paradise Worlds were localized around the previously inhabited planets of the Eldari Empire, and so this area of space had an incredibly high concentration of Eldari life. As a result of this, when Slaanesh violently burst into life and gorged upon the souls of the decadent Eldari, the resulting warp rift which ripped through reality was done so over this area of their empire. Today, this region of space is marred by the Eye of Terror, from which the forces of chaos endlessly pour out from, seeking the devastation and destruction of all within the galaxy, purely to please their foul gods. Within the Eye of Terror, there are hundreds of maiden worlds and Eldari home planets which were utterly ravaged and feasted upon by the demonic forces. But all that remains of them now is a series of barren, hellspawn-infested hunks of rock known as Crone Worlds, named after the Eldari crone goddess of fate, More Heg. Despite the inherent danger of these planets existing within the very Eye of Terror, they are still veritable treasure troves of artifacts from the old Eldari Empire. They stand as the only source for new spirit stones to be recovered, and so it is not unheard of for Eldar corsairs to form small raiding fleets to delve into the Eye, seeking the glory of recovering such precious artifacts for their kin. Unfortunately for the Eldari, they had done almost too good of a job, informing the maiden worlds, as they were not seen as simply a paradise for their own kin, but many other species of the galaxy had also seen the worth in these worlds. Mankind, orcs, and all manner of other minor races were found to have landed and formed small colonies for themselves upon the perfected planet's surface. The Eldari, however, saw them as nothing but pests and vile invaders. They were a pathogen to be utterly exterminated, lest their ignorant taint stain the very world. No matter how long these inhabitants had called their planet home, even if it had been for thousands of years, the Eldar cared not and simply sought their removal. They were given a choice. Either they could flee peacefully and find a new home upon a new world, or the Eldari would completely annihilate them and scour the planet for any who foolishly sought to flee. Rather tragically, some of the alien colonists simply had no way of leaving the planet, and they were not in a position where they could find a new world to call home. The Eldari, however, take no sympathy for those who live in technological squalor, and in these cases they simply followed through with their threat of utter extermination. Not all Eldari fled to the maiden worlds following the Great Fall. Many chose to live upon the vast floating cities known as craft worlds, but the two groups still keep limited relations between each other. Those of the craft world Bealtan see themselves as somewhat of a guardian to the Exodites. They see the groups upon the Exodite worlds as being the first step in the path of the Eldari regaining their galactic civilization. And so they will muster the full might of their craft world to defend them in times of war. Those who chose to live upon these worlds as an Exodite have chosen a far more humble life, where crop cultivation and animal husbandry forms the bulk of their daily toil. Almost all who live upon the craft worlds would see this as a far harder way of life, and many would even look down upon their land-living cousins as having fallen too far from the grace of technology. Despite this, the Exodites understand that this lifestyle is what has saved them from falling to the decadent ways of the past, and their lives are ever more fulfilled because of it. The Exodites do actually retain much of the advanced technology from their prior star-spanning days, but much of it has been simply deconstructed, since its use would go against their new way of life. As such, they forgo the use of automated farming methods and shun the use of intricate, labor-free tools of irrigation, instead preferring to perform their labors by hand, returning to the roots of their ancestors. Partly due to this incredibly hard way of life, the Exodites tend to be far more independent than their craft world compatriots. For most Eldar, they follow the strict path of the Asuriani, which is a rigid code of behavior and societal strategy. This was introduced to the craft worlds as a guiding path, which would keep any from straying away into the realm of decadence and depravity, all to ensure that they would never again return to the state which brought their empire low. The path provides societal designations to each Eldar, with specific subspecializations existing within every sect of their society. Whilst this may work for the craft worlds, there is no part of the path which truly accounts for the Exodites. You may claim that the path of the outcast covers their life, but even from this route, the Eldari are expected to return home eventually, where they would reject the way of life on a maiden world and rejoin in their space-dwelling kin. For the Exodites, however, they will never seek to return. They have formed their own way of life, eschew from the rigidity of life upon a craft world, and they will evermore call these worlds home. A fully formed Exodite world is incredibly rich in its diversity of life, with a thriving and flourishing ecosystem proving to be a true wonder of nature. The residing Exodites will co-inhabit their world with all manner of exotic wildlife species, which have formed an integral part of their society. With that being said, however, an Exodite world is still a savage and wild place, where only the hardiest and toughest of Eldari will survive. The Exodites will reap the benefits of the resources available to them upon these planets, and they have tamed many of the animal species which they knew to be beneficial to their society. Despite this, much of their planet's surface will be untamed and completely wild, with some regions being completely avoided due to the sheer ferocity of the beasts found within them. The Exodites tend to live within small, simple settlements, constructed out of the local resources. However, they are never inhabited for long. Advanced materials such as the psychoplastic wraithbone are scarcely found within Exodite societies, and they are so precious that anything built with them tends to be rather small and portable. An advantage of not using wraithbone to construct their buildings, however, is that they can quickly deconstruct their homes and reclaim any resources which are still salvageable for future constructions. Any materials which are not to be reused will simply decompose and return to the natural environment, where it can act as fertilizer for new life to emerge. As the seasons pass, the Exodites will upend their camps and move with the migration patterns of the animals which they share their planet with. In this way, they truly seek to avoid interfering with the delicate balance of nature upon their planet. They have chosen to build their society around ecological adaptations rather than by exploiting and draining the natural world in which they reside. The migration patterns also hugely impact their food sources, as the Exodites will line up their harvests to match with the migration of the beasts. They will have planned out their crops so that by the time a growing season has ended, that they can reap a huge bounty of their labors and claim a mighty haul of produce with which to feed their peoples. The soil, however, will be slightly depleted from this growth, and so in order to prevent any semblance of excessive farming, which could utterly devastate this patch of land, they will follow with the migrating herds to find new, fertile regions in which to set up a new farm. They can also utilize the vast creatures as pack animals who can carry their supplies off into the sunset as they venture forth to find a new patch of land to live upon. The beasts which inhabit the Exodite worlds are incredibly varied in their appearance and behavior. They were carefully selected and introduced by the ancient Eldari to serve specific purposes. But with the tens of thousands of years which have passed, some of them have evolved and better adapted themselves to the planet's environment. Each species is a part of a truly diverse and dynamic ecosystem, whereby they make up the rich tapestry of life found upon these worlds. Almost every Exodite world will be home to a distinct clade of huge reptilian creatures, which are known to the Exodites as dragons. These animals were introduced in the very latest of stages during terraforming, and they have become an integral part of Exodite society. Of these dragons, one of the most commonly found species will be the Megadons. These large reptiles roam the Exodite worlds in vast herds, numbering in the thousands, where they will be found peacefully grazing upon the endless grasslands. The Exodite settlers will follow their feeding and migration patterns, and they will utilize their size and strength as pack animals during times of peace. The herds are also managed for food, where the elder will cull specific animals to feast upon their flesh, drink their blood, and utilize every part of their corpse which could be reclaimed for resources. They will use dragon leathers, bones, and organs as the backbone of many of their manufactured creations. These can be used to produce anything from clothes to structural materials, whereby the skeletal remains can often be broken down into a powder before being mixed with several other naturally sourced resources to form a durable substitute for wraith bone. To control the herds, Exodites known as Dragon Knights will ride smaller carnivorous reptiles known as Carnosaurs to corral and direct the placid herds of Megadons if they begin taking a wayward path. They wield mighty lances, which when used against a Megadon would feel like nothing more than a small prod, which is simply intended to direct the peaceful creature into falling in with the rest of the herd. These lances are still incredibly advanced weapons, however, and a strike from one of these would surely fell even a mighty space marine. The Exodites who aspire to become Dragon Knights are often the most fiery and aggressive of Eldari within their society. In their youth, they will often be found in small conflicts and squabbles with other aspiring knights, where they will duel and fight each other to gain the right to ride on the strongest of Carnosaurs. These conflicts are commonplace amongst the knights, and their small war games are nothing more than fights of honor, which will swell their egos with an innate burst of pride for claiming their noble mount. Whilst they form an integral part of Exodite society, these Dragon Knights will be quick to turn their lances against any invaders who have set their gaze onto an Exodite world. They will charge alongside their kin to slay whatever foul incursion has made the fatal mistake of seeking to claim their home, and they will relish in the chance to prove their might against a worthy opponent. Also found on their worlds is the mighty Brachiosaur. This gigantic reptile has a markedly long neck, which allows them to calmly feed upon the leaves atop the tallest of trees, which no other species can easily reach. They will peacefully roam the planet in small communities, with few predators being bold enough to even attempt attacking the gargantuan creatures. Some brave Exodites will use these graceful creatures as pack animals, with their immense bulk being able to carry even the most immense of cargoes with no concern. Some of these beasts can even be mounted with huge prism cannons in times of war, making them akin to a mobile heavy weapons platform. Perhaps the largest creature of the Exodite worlds is the Archaeosaur. These gigantic eight-legged beasts rival even the Imperial Titans in their size and strength. Standing upright, they have been recorded to be taller than a warlord titan, and their mighty steps will crush small settlements underfoot. Only the bravest and most daring of the Exodites will attempt to guide these creatures, and if they do, they will build large platforms atop the beast's back to allow them to comfortably ride and direct the dragon. They are covered in an immensely thick hide, which can shrug off anything short of a titanic weapon battery. In addition, as a part of their digestive process, the bubbling stomachs of an Archaeosaur will produce a constant source of the highly flammable compound acetylene, which they can belch out to create a vast and deadly wave of fire. It is not only land-dwelling creatures which inhabit these worlds, as the mighty Pterosaur rules the skies. These winged dragons soar amongst the clouds of an Exodite world, diving down to hunt on the smaller wildlife before returning to their nests to feed and roost. Some Exodites have managed to mount and ride these flying beasts, and in times of war, they will use their mount to soar above an enemy, before dropping highly explosive charges upon them from on high to utterly devastate the foolish invaders. Though the flourishing Exodite worlds are typically found far from the eye of terror, the Eldari still feel the constant dread of chaos. They are grimly aware of the ever-present risk of a demonic incursion, in which their very souls would be the prized goal for the invading Hellspawn. Like the Eldar aboard their craft worlds with their infinity circuit, the Exodites have their own methods of saving their souls from Slaanesh should they perish. Dotted across every corner of their planets will be a vast network of megalithic structures known as world shrines, constructed out of a psychically interactive crystalline material. These towering obelisks, menhirs, standing circles, and barrows are akin to gigantic spirit stones, which link together and anchor the psychic powers of the Eldari to the very earth itself. The combined emanations from these structures produces what is known as the world spirit, which can be seen as the exodite version of the infinity circuits found aboard craft worlds. The world spirit can be seen as a sentient entity, formed of the combined psychic energies of the planet, its inhabitants, the deceased, and the world shrines. It is an animalistic force which can be communicated with should an Eldari desire to. Whilst any psychically sensitive Eldar can commune with the world spirit, typically it will be a senior and psychically attuned Farseer who seeks out a world shrine for this event. An Eldari may wish to contact the world spirit in order to commune with the deceased and departed souls of those who have died upon the world, perhaps to seek closure or simply for their keen advice. Alternatively, a Farseer may wish to speak directly with the planet itself, to learn of its condition, or to hear of any potential dangers which may be unseen to the living. Similar to the craft worlders, each exodite will wear a spirit stone at all times, which will capture their soul upon death. As a burial tradition, the departed exodite will be taken deep within a sacred barrow beneath a world shrine, where their spirit stone will be shattered, allowing their soul to be absorbed and claimed by the world spirit. Once their soul has become a part of the world spirit, it is forever safe from any meddlesome forces, and it can freely persist as a part of the very planet itself. In doing this, the departed Eldari will be safe from the grasps of any prying and clawing demons who would gleefully snatch up a bright and vibrant Eldari soul to be used as a scrumptious gift for the ravenous chaos god Slaanesh. The exodite worlds are not entirely cut off from the rest of the Eldar species. Despite the worlds being tens of thousands of light years apart, there still exist webway gates upon these planets, which can be used for an Eldari to quickly travel down to its lush surface from any corner of the galaxy. These routes, however, are an incredibly closely guarded secret, which are only known to a select few Farseers and Autarchs, who will scarcely reveal the true path to take. The circumstances in which an Eldari would travel to an exodite world are rather varied. In times of war, a craft world may send their forces to defend a planet from prying invaders, lest its world spirit fall to their enemies. Alternatively, some rangers or outcasts will travel through the webway to simply meet with the exodites, where they will trade stories of the galaxy, keeping their land-dwelling cousins well informed of the events transpiring out in the stars. The exodites will do whatever they can to defend their world spirit if it is endangered. It acts as the final resting place of their ancestors and families, and so to abandon this would be to damn their souls to a most horrific fate within the warp. It is not uncommon for Chaos Warbands to attempt to claim an exodite world solely for the prize of gaining access to a world spirit. But thanks to the noble and fearsome Eldari war forces, they are rarely successful. If a craft world Eldari is unsatisfied with the path of the Asuriani, or simply detests the regimented life of secrecy and introversion aboard a craft world, then they may flee to an exodite world seeking refuge and a new way of life. These outcasts are often welcomed with open arms by the exodites, who will learn new skills and hear fresh stories from their new compatriot, who in return gets to live a peaceful and free life atop the flowing grasses and beneath the radiant light of their blazing sun. Truly, life on an exodite world seems to be a peaceful and fulfilling, if not difficult, existence, being able to live in a society which has fully integrated itself with the ecosystem of a planet is truly a sight to behold. It is a way of life which many of us may eventually aspire to live in, and we can only be so envious of the foresight of the Eldari who chose this life for themselves.